reaching its record June temperature for the second day in a row. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, has urged an Andy Burnham-led government to stick to what she's doing because it is beginning to bear fruit. Consultants and specialist doctors in Northern Ireland are striking for the first time in a dispute about pay. And the government has published draft legislation to criminalise so-called conversion therapy. BBC News.
With Jane Steele.
Silence in court.
I'm Lucy Worsley, and in my brand new series, I'll be hearing about the women involved in some of history's most infamous legal battles.
I am a rebel, whatever verdict the jury passes on me.
And with an all-female team of detectives, I'll be reopening extraordinary court cases from the past.
I did it! He only got what he deserved!
Lady on Trial with Lucy Worsley. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, it's time for some of the internet's best sketch comedians to combine for POV.
POV, a sketch show.
Hiya, welcome to Camelot Co-working. Can I help you?
Yeah, I have a space booked for a meeting today.
Fantastic. Can I take a name?
Arthur. Arthur Pendragon.
Let me just have a look. Yep, you're in 3C. It's just that room over there with a long conference table. You can...
I booked the round table for today.
Oh.
Yeah, I specifically booked the round table. We kind of need the table to be round.
Let me check. The round table's booked up.
Oh. All day?
All day. What company do you work for?
Britain.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the king. Me and the knights are having our AGM today.
Right. Well, the King of France has a table for today. Sorry.
Right. Well, do you have anything else?
How many of you are there?
Historians disagree. Somewhere between 12 and 160.
Okay. And what sort of thing are you looking for?
I was thinking like a table, and really it wants to be like round.
It looks like we have a round table available in our Tintagel location.
In Cornwall?
Yeah.
Well, that's a 10-day ride from here, and the meeting's at 1 p.m, so that probably won't work.
Are you sure you don't want 3C? It's got a smart board, and those plug sockets with flaps.
No, that's good, and I do need those, but really, I can't budge on the roundness of the table. We have sort of like a flat management structure at our company, and like it's bad optics and kind of antithetical to our mission statement to have sort of like one person at the head of a table.
Well, if you don't mind working in the foyer, we can arrange some beanbags and chairs in a ring.
I like the roundness of that, but it really does need to be a table as well. Like, we can't have one person elevated higher up than anyone else or anything like that. Like, we can't have Lancelot in a chair and Percival down there on a beanbag, you know. So, like, a nice, flat, round table will do me fine.
What if people are different heights?
I'm sorry?
Even if you're all sat at a flat, round table, won't some people be naturally taller than others?
Do you not have those office chairs with the handle that go up and down?
They haven't been invented yet.
Oh, flip.
We have a breakout cube you could host a Zoom from, and you could make your background round.
Again, with Zoom, it's like one person's window is like highlighted in the middle. We're not equal.
You can change that in settings.
Oh, can you? Oh, yeah, that's perfect then.
Brilliant. I'll pop that in for you. It's yours from 1 p.m.
Lovely.
Feel free to help yourself to anything in the kitchen. It's just no grails in the microwave.
Oh, I've made that mistake before.
Well, it's the day we've been waiting for, one of the most hotly anticipated events at this year's Olympics, the mixed divorcing finals. Without doubt the pinnacle of achievement in the world of competitive divorcing. And what a match we have lined up. Irina Kavonka there, one of the great Russian divorcers. And her soon-to-be ex-husband Stephen, polishing his glasses. He's really made a mark in the divorcing scene lately. That's right, Darren, he brought self-driving vehicles to the fore in male divorcees in the last decade. A true master of his craft. Irina to serve. She hits him with a trademark scowl, documents in a brown paper envelope. Clean opening, very classically Russian. Stephen too busy polishing his golf clubs to notice. An equally classic rebuttal. He'll get a lot of points for that. Irina gets her lawyer involved, move things up a step. Sharp bob, thin spectacles, that's an excellent move. Stephen does the same. He's gone seedy lawyer, stain on jacket. A good response, although risky. Irina says she wants the marital home. She's testing the waters there. Stephen wants the artwork and the jewellery. He knows that'll annoy her. Irina makes a comment about his drinking. Stephen says she's just like her mother. Exceptional play from both so far. Irina's coach there, furious concentration. Incidentally, also Irina's mother, one of the great divorcers of the 20th century. Stephen not making eye contact with her. I think he knows he can't handle them both right now. Irina puts on some dark sunglasses, links arms with her personal trainer. Stephen polishes a red sports car. Irina demonstrates her favourability with the dog. Stephen tries to tempt it with a piece of ham. Yellow card from the referee. Irina makes a subtle gesture with a little finger, alluding to his manhood, or lack thereof. She's really pulling ahead now. Stephen tries to claw it back, brings in the younger girlfriend. But Irina's personal trainer is still flexing his muscles, and the kids seem to love him. Stephen's getting desperate. He pulls out the big guns, cries, and tells her he'll change. Combines it with a last-ditch attempt at couples therapy. Oh, it's a triple guilt trip backtrack feint. But Irina's trained for this her whole life. It glances off her like it's nothing. Stephen tries a hair transplant from Turkey. But Irina's reaching into her jacket. What's she got? I can't quite see. It's photos of Stephen with the au pair. Oh, that's a knockout. Stephen floored. He can't believe she's got him. He disguised herself as a pot plant, long telephoto lens. This is what makes her a champion, Darren. Stephen concedes he's a broken man. Irina Kavonka takes the gold once again and proves why she really is the best of the best. She also, of course, takes the house and the kids. What a gripping game that was, Leslie. Darren, I'm sweating. Stay with us now to hear from Irina and her coach, or turn over to Channel 2 for the men's mental gymnastics semi-finals. See you soon.
Welcome to Why Would I Lie, Though? The paranormal podcast that asks, why would they lie, though? A warning to the listener, this episode is seriously spooky. We meet James. He's 40 but looks 70. He's got thinning hair and he's heavy set. He works from home and smells of ale and BO. James is sharing with us something he's never told anyone else, something he's kept secret for over 20 years. James takes us back to 1999. Not physically, that would be mind-bending. He takes us back with his words to a night when he was a teenager. Drunk and high on lighter fluid, James is stalked by someone or something in the woods. But first, an update on our last episode, The Widnes Vampire. You may remember that Anna and Andy were plagued by a mysterious figure, a tall man in black, who appeared at their home whenever Andy was at work. The figure had recorded football on Andy's sky planner, left a strong smell of tobacco in the non-smoking house, and was even witnessed by neighbours touching Anna when she was sunbathing in the garden. Anna said she had never seen the figure that her three-year-old son chillingly referred to as Mummy's friend. The only physical evidence of this potential haunting were the deep red marks on Anna's neck. Marks that our experts here at Why Would I Lie, Though, say could have been caused by biting or sucking. Bloody hell. Scary stuff. Could there really be vampiric activity at a normal family home in England's northwest? Well, Andy has been in touch to say that he's had to move out with their son on Anna's suggestion as activity has increased. As well as the man in black, another figure has been spotted. A blonde man has been seen around the home and even in the passenger seat of Anna's car. It's claimed the apparition has followed Anna to several local pubs and has been seen with the man in black in the bedroom window of the house. Anna herself says the only evidence she has is that her neck scars have increased and she is suffering from exhaustion. We will keep in touch with Anna and Andy and keep you updated on any new happenings. We wish them all the best. Now to the terrifying events of over two decades ago. Let's meet James as he tells us his story and asks, why would I lie though?
Hello, ladies. Hello. Welcome to the Modern Femininity Summit, where we never want to reach our peak. My name is Issa Skayam. Yes, I heard that. It is not pronounced "it's a scam." It's Issa Skayam. Now, women today are confused. They've been told they must achieve, succeed, compete with men. But ladies, no real man wants a woman who is equal to him. That's exhausting. Masculine men want to lead. Let them. They want to provide. Let them. And for that to happen, you must learn to do less. And ideally, be less. That's actually how you get more. Now, how many of you here have enrolled in my incredible 90-day feminine energy transformation course? Just £1,490, which when you think about it, is actually very empowering. Because if you aren't investing on bringing a man in, then you can probably bet that you are keeping a man out. People often ask me, Issa, how do you do it? Because yes, I am very successful. But despite that success, I am always careful never to outshine my wonderfully masculine husband. He is the leader. I let him. He is the provider. I let him. He is texting me right now, probably to set our weekly couple goals. Why? Because I let him. Let me just see. He honestly sends the most motivating messages. I want a divorce. Well, I'll read that later. Let's all focus on our first lesson in securing a man, which is breaking up with the idea of humiliation. Repeat after me. I am not being humiliated. I am being uniquely loved.
Hi, so I just want to offer a warm welcome to some of the new faces at the Silent Letter Support Group. I just want you to know that this is a safe space for you to speak out, okay? Maybe let's start off where we left off last week. B, I know you were experiencing doubt last time we met. How's that been?
Well, I just get lost in the middle of doubt. I mean, I always have, and I'm starting to think I always will.
And where does that leave you?
Me? Well, I just try and go about my day, but inevitably I just end up finishing off numb.
I think a lot of the letters here can relate to that, so thanks for sharing. I just wonder maybe if it might be useful for some of the newer faces to hear a little bit about where all this silence first stemmed from for you.
Totally, and I mean, I go round and round in my head about where I lost my voice. I think, looking back, it was when I got into debt.
Absolutely, and again, thanks for sharing. Now, we have a returning member to the group after being away for some time. P, I mean, do you want to tell us a bit about what's been going on?
Well, I was struggling with pneumonia.
I am so sorry to hear that. I had no idea.
Well, yeah, I suppose as things got worse, I lost my voice and I just didn't have the strength to come back to the sessions. But I'm glad to be back. I really am.
And how did that impact your psychology?
Well, I feel like I'm stuck at the start of it, really.
And what about physiologically?
Much the same.
Well, look, that's nearly all we have time for, I'm afraid. Next week we...
Oh, sorry, I'm T, first time here. I was just wondering if I could share.
Oh, sorry, T, what seems to be the issue?
Well, being a silent letter is hard enough, but I specifically find it really hard to get people to listen to me on a daily basis.
Yeah, sorry, we really don't have time for that, I'm afraid. Session adjourned.
Welcome to the News Agents, where we are reeling from today's extraordinary statement from the US president, which essentially plunges the US into a constitutional crisis that likes of which have never been seen before.
Absolutely, Maitlis. It just beggars belief and leaves Congress and the whole world scratching his head. But at the same time, isn't it exactly what you were expecting? Haven't we been here before?
You're right, Soaps. It is just extraordinary how predictable it is. And in a way, that's the most shocking thing about it.
The statement made by Trump today is so profoundly baffling.
Oh, here we go.
Strap in for the long haul.
The bond market's quaking in its boots. Moreover, it's had an almost instantaneous impact on oil prices, but also oil and gas distribution.
So suddenly, the lobbyists and big players from those camps are pushing back on Trump hard, something he probably didn't think about. That's an interesting point, Lewis, because we know two things can be true. Excuse me, Emily, just let me finish this point. Excuse me. Lewis, I've excused your grandstanding, overuse of the word profound, and endless references to your LBC show. But no, I will not excuse you for talking over me. What we're doing here is exactly like improv or sex. It only works if there's more than one person involved. It isn't a solo sport.
Sorry, Maitlis.
What did you call me?
Sorry, Emily.
Damn straight. You can finish your point when the male equivalents of Gillian Anderson and Ruth Wilson play you, and when your investigative journalism causes a crisis in the monarchy. The ethos of this show is rigorous analysis and fearless discourse that flies in the face of the establishment. And that's why we left the BBC in a blaze of glory, to make a bloody stand.
You tell him, Maitlis. Now, I won't be in the studio tomorrow because I'm going on holiday.
So, on holiday? What an unexpected turn of events.
You'll want to talk. Anyway, I'll be basking in the sunshine, but you can join Lewis and Maitlis back in the studio tomorrow for our regularly scheduled emergency podcast.
The thing is, David, people today have got absolutely no idea. My generation knew hardship.
Yeah, yes, Mum. Oh, this is salt and vinegar. That's for prawn cocktail.
Lit spirit, David. That's what my generation has.
Yeah. Well, you were born in 1957.
Churchill didn't faff about with focus groups, did he? My granddad always said the secret to winning the war is very simple. You dig in. You don't give up.
Right.
Blitz spirit.
Well, I'm going to go see if they've got any prawn cocktail.
Excuse me, but do you mind if I interject?
Suit yourself, love. But it's a zero drugs policy in here.
I work for a government department. I heard you talking about war tactics just then. You clearly have some extensive operational experience.
Well, not really. But I've read a lot on Facebook.
They are actually out of prawn cocktail. Hello?
Claude Kinnear, Civil Service. Nice to meet you.
What's all this?
Your mum here might have unlocked the tactical impasse we find ourselves in on the Eastern Front.
My mum? Jean? My mum Jean?
Oh, very nice, David. I do know a thing or two, you know. It's all about morale, isn't it? Because a soldier who hasn't had a proper meal is no use to anyone. My nan used to...
Your nan? Field experience?
Dinner lady. Sacred Heart Roman Catholic Primary School, Wakefield. She said you can't fight on an empty stomach.
By God. We've been hemorrhaging money all this time on asymmetric warfare and AI drone integration, when the answer all along was a shepherd's pie. Would you please excuse me a moment? Get me the Defence Secretary. No. Now. Yes, I know it's Saturday, but I think I found who we're looking for.
Mum, what are you doing? I think he's from...
Right, where were we?
Well, I was going to say that back in my day, you had to make do and mend. Kids these days. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I think I do know what you mean by that. It's stunning. Listen, Jean.
Yes, love.
Given Washington's pivot eastward and the ambiguity that creates for Article 5 credibility, how do we, as a nation, sustain a convincing deterrent posture on NATO's eastern flank, modernise Trident, honour our bilateral defence commitments, and still lead, rather than merely follow in coalition operations?
You've just got to use a bit of common sense, love.
My God, it's... it's brilliant.
A bit of D-Day spunk.
Oh,
don't be disgusting, David.
Mum, I'm not being funny, but you were born 12 years after the Second World War ended.
We had it tough in our day.
You lived in a semi-detached in Saddleworth that you paid less than 10 grand for in the 80s.
And if young people would eat less smashed avocado on toast,
the NHS worked in your day, and you had hilariously low interest rates.
Yes, but you never had to use an outdoor toilet in the freezing dead of winter while your granddad dug for coal in a frozen, unforgiving tundra.
Neither did you.
Look, Jean, this is all very well and good, but time is of the essence here. I wonder, would you consider leading the whole entire British Army? We'd need you on the front lines.
Well, I'm having a chin wax on Tuesday, but after that...
I'll make the arrangements. I'll assume you already know how to strip, clean, maintain and fire a Heckler & Koch SA-80 L85A2 bullpup assault rifle.
Come on.
I'm left-handed, love. In ground combat scenarios, I'd strictly use an FN Herstal F2000.
Perfect.
A question I'm always asked is, why did I choose to teach physical education For me, it's about the life-changing impact PE has on the kids. I've had past students tell me that they wake up in the middle of the night crying just thinking about me. So look, I'm in their dreams. I think that says all you need to know about the impact I've had.
Girls, you are 5 minutes late for this class. You wouldn't be late if this was a math lesson, would you? I know it's 12 p.m. and the lesson starts at 12, but you should have been on the pitch 10 minutes ago. That is the level of commitment I expect from physical education. 2 house points deducted for questioning my authority.
My name is Hetty Butcher, and I am a PE teacher.
Right, girls, time for the register. We've already lost valuable lesson time, so you can thank Lucy for injuring herself after I asked her to move the football net to the other side of the pitch. Simple task, simple failure. So, that's already 1 house point deducted from everyone on Lucy's team. Back to the register. Daisy? Robin? Fatty Man? Please answer as soon as your name is called. Fatty Man? Sorry, your name is what? Fatima? Right, girls, I don't have time for this. Look, I can't do difficult names. Can I just give you a nickname? Fatty? Fatso? No, sorry, girls, I don't have time for this nonsense, okay? Fats will have to do.
No, I don't have favourites. Do I have certain students that I connect with on a deeply personal level and love them like my own children? Yes, but that does not mean I have favourites.
Excuse me, Poppy. Why have you got a hat on? I know it's -5 degrees, but that is not regulation kit. I don't care. This isn't a fashion show. Take it off. Take it off. Isabella, I love your new coat. No, keep it on. Keep it on. Poppy, can you give me and Isabella some space, please? Because I'm having a confidential conversation with my PE GCSE students, so can you give us some space, please? Back up, all right? Girls, what's all the fuss about? Speak up, girls, I can't hear you. I've got a lot of layers on today. Got my thermal, got my puffer jacket, hoodie, balaclava. Poppy's got frostbite. Right, Poppy, that is seriously disruptive to my class. So that's going to be 5 laps around the field. Yes, please, all of you girls. All of you, not you, Isabella, darling. No, not you. That is really disappointing, Poppy. That's going to be 5 house points deducted for not staying warm.
Students these days do not have the discipline and motivation that is demanded of physical education, and it impacts them in later life. I was forced by my teacher to piggyback her from her home to the school every morning at 4 a.m. And look at me. I've turned out just fine.
Welcome to the first ever Manosphere podcast, hosted by the subconscious of a Manosphere influencer. And let me tell you, I'm absolutely crapping myself. And that's not just because of the carnivore diet, but I do accept that that might be contributing. Oh, shouldn't have mentioned my bowels. Oh, I hate showing any sort of vulnerability. See, I've been told that I should talk to someone, and so I started a podcast, which I think is the same. And on today's show, we'll be seeing how many years of trauma we can repress by telling people to drink raw milk, which you should. It's really nice. Not like something actually nice like chocolate or grapes, but nice in that it tastes horrible, so it's nice in a manly way in that it isn't nice at all, because deep down, I don't think I deserve nice things. And obviously, I have no understanding of pasteurisation, but I do sort of think that heating milk up to a safe temperature is gay, and I'm not that. Definitely. I mean, I've not checked or done any sort of interrogation on it, but that's not because I'm scared of male intimacy, but it's because I treat gay people so abhorrently that I'd have to begin bullying myself and it would be too complicated. I fancy girls, and I despise them, because they're confusing and soft and nice, but also actually very bad, and I hate them, and that's not because I was bad at Kiss Chase or because I loved my high school English teacher, Mrs. Ashworth, and one day she asked me what a homonym was, and I said a Ninja Turtle, and everyone laughed at me, and I didn't get it because I wasn't joking. And so now, instead of coming to terms with my more complex feelings, I ignore them. You should try it. It's great. And I've managed to do what the bullies at my school did, and I know what they did because they were me. I use pain and fear as currency to lift myself up at the cost of everyone around me. And now I'm huge. My worst behaviours have been rewarded. My worldview is correct because it brings in millions and millions of views, but somehow that isn't filling the huge void that lingers inside me. So, does anybody fancy climbing a tree and catching a bird and murdering it together? Do I mean a bird? I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to ask Mrs. Ashworth. I never understood homonyms.
Hear ye, hear ye. We meet this day to speak upon matters of great importance. The harvest has twice failed. The gruel is at its thinnest. The beer runneth dry. Soon there will be only water to drink. Look, Even Diggory is sobering up.
Sorry not.
See? He's even started to form words. Speak plainly. What can be done? Ah, over here. Marjorie, what say you?
I suggest rotating the crops, Lord. Leave one field fallow each year. Perhaps we also share income. Each house bands together to purchase an ox to graze upon the commons. We all share its bounty.
Oh, I see. Why not invite all of England here to suckle upon mine weeping teat?
Any excuse to talk about his man tits?
As usual, it befalls on I to rid us of this misfortune. Scribe, present the scroll. Article 1. We must avoid the number 13. 13. Avoid it, like the plague. Too soon? I learnt about the dangers of 13 from my grandfather, Old Bill. And because of his belief, he lived to a ripe old age.
How old was he?
37. Next, mirrors. Never break mirrors.
What's a mirror?
The back of a spoon to you. Shatter a mirror, prepare for 7 years in the shadow of God's grace. Now, where was I?
Well, I believe, sir, you were suggesting renouncing the number 13 and never breaking mirrors will save us from starvation, pestilence, and almost certain death.
Ah, yes, that's right. Good heavens, lady. Do I spy a brain twixt thine ears? Perhaps you would like to accompany me to the Lord's Ball next weekend. I have guest list. I'm just putting it out there. Lord. Moving on. Magpies. We must salute magpies. See one magpie alone, sorrow. A yearning emptiness destroying all hopes and dreams.
What about two?
Oh, that's fine. One more thing, salt. Never spill salt, or we're all doomed.
Is there really nothing that can be done if we spill salt, sir?
Yes. I wrote this down, 1 second. Yes. Throw a pinch of salt over your shoulder. Great.
My lord, I beg you, explain. Is this not but a work of fiction? Ravings plucked from thin air, random rules to create logic for something that has no logic, using no logic at all.
Quick, everybody, look over there! Magpies!
This year, our incredible Black Friday deals start on Monday. That gives you 5 days of Black Friday offers.
That's nothing. You can get early access to our Black Friday deals a full week ahead.
It's a fortnight before Black Friday, which means, yes, you guessed it, a Black Friday-tastic 14 days of Black Friday goodness.
Forget Black History Month, it's Black Friday Month. 30 days of deals and savings.
We're proud to announce Black Friday Winter. 3 months of reduced prices to get you through the season.
Our top story tonight. We're now entering year 3 of the long Black Friday. Everything is for sale. No one knows what anything is supposed to cost. Inflation is up or down depending on how you look at it. Economists are in despair. Violence stalks the streets.
A spokesman for the Black Friday Martyrs Brigade claimed responsibility for the attack, claiming that they had intelligence that the shop had been found to be selling things without a discount code. 3 Black Fridays of mourning have been announced.
After many years of struggle, a peace deal has been struck and Black Friday will finally be declared over. No one knows what comes next. Historians say that traditionally the day after Black Friday was simply known as Saturday. But other experts say that just sounds silly.
POV was written and performed by Davina Bentley,
Jake Bardwood,
Kylie Brakeman,
Cowboy Complex,
Rachel Fairburn,
Daniel Fox,
Matt Green,
Farrell Hegarty,
Larry and Paul,
Kalichi Okafor,
Will Seabag Montefiore,
and by Ed Knight,
and Paddy Young. It was produced by Ed Morrish, and it was a Lead Mojo production for BBC Radio 4.
Next week on POV, you'll hear a child sharing heartbreaking news with their parents, a very scientific palm reading, and some advanced medical theories for the 1600s. Meanwhile, for tomorrow night, 6:30 comedy, The Dead Ringers team returns with their razor-sharp impressions.
Dearest, there's a small forest on the staircase.
When an ordinary hat is found in Moomin Valley, some extraordinary things begin to happen.
Under the Hobgoblin's hat,
He has been turned into a very strange creature indeed.
Another enchanted adventure from Tuva Jansson.
I am Moomin Troll. Don't you believe me?
Starring John Finnemore, Georgie Glenn and Samuel West.
I say, I found a gooseberry bush in the wardrobe.
Finn Family Moomin Troll. This Sunday afternoon at 3 on Radio 4 and BBC